प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नमाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की गौर प्रेमानंदी समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते रुत्तम श्लोके भक्तेर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। Reading from Srimad Bhagavat, first canto, chapter 4, the appearance of Sri Narad, slok number 25. Stri Shudra Dvija Bandhu Naam Traina Shuti Gochara Karma Shreyasi Moodhanam Shreya Evam Bhavediha Iti Bharatam Akhyanam Krupaya Munina Krutam Stri Shudra Dvija Bandhu Naam Traina Shruti Gochara Karma Shreyasi Moodhanam Shreya Evam Bhavediha Iti Bharatam Akhyanam Krupaya Munina Krutam Stri Shudra Dvija Bandhu Naam Traina Shruti Gochara Karma Shreyasi Moodhanam Shreya Evam Bhavediha Iti Bharatam Akhyanam Krupaya Munina Krutam Word to word meaning. Stri, the woman class. Shudra, the laboring class. Dvija Bandhu Naam, of the friends, of the twice born. Trai, three. Na, not. Shuti Gochara, for understanding. Karma, in activities. Shreyasi, in welfare. Moodhana, of the fools. Shreyaha, supreme benefit. Evam, thus. Bhavet, achieved. Iha, by this. Iti thus thinking, Bharatam, the great Mahabharat, Akhyanam, historical facts, Kripaya, out of great mercy, Munina, by the Muni, Krutam, is completed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Out of compassion, the great sage thought it wise that this would enable men to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Thus he compiled a great historical narration called the Mahabharata for the women, laborers and the friends of the twice born. Purport. The friends of the twice born families are those who are born in the families of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas or the spiritually cultured families, but who themselves are not equal to their forefathers. Such descendants are not recognized as such for want of purificatory achievements. The purificatory activities begin even before the birth of a child, and the seed-giving reformatory process is called Garbhadham Samskar. One who has not undergone such Garbhadham Samskar or spiritual family planning is not accepted as being of an actual twice-born family. The Garbhadham Samskar is followed by other purificatory processes out of which the sacred thread ceremony is won. This is performed at the time of spiritual initiation. After this particular samskar, one is rightly called twice born. One birth is calculated during the seed giving samskar, and the second birth is calculated at the time of spiritual initiation. One who has been able to undergo such important samskaras can be called a bona fide twice born. If the father and the mother do not undertake the process of spiritual family planning and simply beget children out of passion only, their children are called as Dvija Bandhus. These Dvija Bandhus are certainly not as intelligent as the children of the regular twice born families. The Dvija Bandhus are classified with the Shudras and the woman class, who are by nature less intelligent. The Shudras and the woman class do not have to undergo any samskar, save and except the ceremony of marriage. The less intelligent classes of men, namely women, Shudras, unqualified son of higher caste, are devoid of necessary qualification to understand the purpose of transcendental Vedas. For them, the Mahabharata is prepared. The purpose of Mahabharata is to administer the purpose of Vedas, and therefore within this Mahabharata is the summary of Veda of Bhagavad Gita is placed. The less intelligent are more interested in stories than in philosophy, and therefore the philosophy of Vedas in the form of Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Lord Shri Krishna. Vyasadeva and Lord Shri Krishna are both on the transcendental plane, and therefore they collaborated in doing good to the fallen souls of this age. The Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. It is the first book of spiritual values, as the Upanishads are. The Vedanta philosophy is the subject matter for the study by the spiritual graduates. Only the postgraduate spiritual student can enter into the spiritual or devotional service of the Lord. It is a great science And a great professor is the Lord Himself in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And persons who are empowered by Him can initiate others in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Krupa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So, sorry, I was just told the day before that I had to give class. So I read this sloka, but I have not read the slokas before and after. But from the chapter heading, it says that, as we know the why, Vyasadeva wrote first all the scriptures and then Mahabharata and then in the end, Srimad Bhagavatam. I think that narration is going on. Maybe tomorrow, day after tomorrow, some other devotees will clarify that part. But today we see, we'll discuss on a topic which is generally devotees avoid discussing. But before that, I would like to take on this last sloka, not last sloka, last few sentences of the purport. And it says that in the last paragraph, Prabhupada says that how Mahabharata has been written for those who are less intelligent people of Kali Yuga, who are interested in stories, and Gita has been introduced into that. And then he says, this Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. And then Prabhupada says, actually Vedanta philosophy is a subject matter for the study of spiritual graduates. Only the postgraduate spiritual student, even Lord Chaitanya, he said to Sarvam Bhattacharya, Prakashan Saraswati, and I am a fool, so I don't engage in studies of Vedas. But he says that great science, it is a great science. And a great professor is the Lord Himself. In Kali Yuga, the great professor of the Vedanta is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by His great mercy, has delivered to us this essence of all the Vedic scriptures, the Vedanta, in the form of chanting of holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And even it is predicted, I think, by Nityananda Prabhu, that Prithvite Haite Jodi, Nagaradi Gram, Sarvatra Prachar Hoive, Moranam. So actually I just want to, before I go into the main topic, I want to share one small incident. Actually, as you know, all of you know me nicely, most of you. I go to a place, congregation preaching takes place at a place called Ratnagiri. And I also go for college preaching at a place called Batu Lonere. That engineering college is a big one over there, but that college is in a very small village. And no one knows it. Our few devotees, Nandula and others, have graduated from that place. So that Lonere college is like, there may be 3,000 students, but in the village, there may be only 500 people or maybe 800 people. Something like that. And since few years, we had a rented base. But since around 4 or 5 years, we have our own base. We purchased some land. And technically, geographically, that our base is not even in Lonere village, it is another small village. Geographically, it is called Nave. It has only 100 homes in that village, maybe less than that. So actually, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, one person from a nearby place called Manangao, he was staying in Surat for some business. He had purchased Bhagavad Gita over there, Marathi one, because he was a Maharashtrian person. But few years back, he came back to Manangao and he was staying there. The Gita was lying as it is, jashi hai tashi. And then the last year's lockdown came, March 24, I think, what it may be, March 20. And then the lockdown came, he was running a canteen outside a local college in Manangao, former science college. And then everything closed, so he, in the 6 months time, he read the Bhagavad Gita 7 times. And then he started chanting and offering food and everything. Then he wanted to associate with devotees. So he said, I want to meet devotees, but then Manangao, lockdown, Pune, Bombay is very far off. So he tried to search on Google. Is there any ISKCON close by? So the Google showed up, ISKCON based Nave. He said, Nave, how can ISKCON be over there? ISKCON is in Pune, Bombay, maybe Panvel. Nave, where only 100 homes are there in the village, how can it be there? But it is there somehow or other. That is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Now he comes for the programs regularly, since few weeks, does lot of seva, and he is following whatever is basic requirement of Srila Prabhupada's mission, chanting 16 rounds and following 4 principles and like that. So something like that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, like, you know, Indramana Maharaj many years back went into the Amazon forest. Now everyone knows Amazon, but because of the online platform. But when Indramana Maharaj went in the forest, actually he gave many books and Bhagavad Gita, like Prasad distribution. And that book, that story is compiled in a small book called Drums Among the Amazon, some of you might have read it. But there is an addition to a story. 8 years after that, approximately, 7-8 years after that, some devotees again went to the same route. And there was only one common Mataji who was in that first batch also and in the second batch also. And she found out in all the villages that people recognized their, welcomed them. But in one village, there was one person, he had just one or two books of Prabhupada, eaten Khichdi Prasad once or twice. And in the Amazon forest, to be vegetarian is very difficult. Actually, everyone lives off the fish and flesh of the forest. But there was one person, since that one day, he met only Indramana Maharaj and few devotees, maybe for a few hours. And since that time, he was chanting 16 rounds for 8 years, following all the regulative principles for 8 years, and reading those books again and again and again. And no association, no yatra, nothing. But he was fixed up in his devotion. So certainly that is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the persons who are empowered by him. So all of we are in some way here and there. But we can see that this science of postgraduate study of Vedanta, which is only meant for spiritual graduates, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, is available in various parts of the world, in remote corners, and there are many such stories. But today we'll come back to the topic. And many times I have seen people skirt this topic of prayer. Like the shloka says, Sri Shudra Dvijabandhu Naam Traina Shruti Gochara. The Shudras, the Dvijabandhus and the women, they generally don't understand the Shrutis, the Vedic scriptures. And sometimes I have seen, rather than skirting the topic, better let us understand that it appears that this topic is controversial. How can Sri Shudra Dvijabandhu Naam be called less intelligent? But it is not at all controversial. If we try to understand it, and if we don't try to understand it, it will remain controversial. So many times we have seen even devotees, even projis, even matajis, they try to skirt the topic. I think skirt is the correct, they just pass around. They don't quote the topic. Something like that. So maybe let us quote the topic and let us clarify. Because some atheists also say, how can you say this is less intelligent? Today's age, women are ahead in every field, in rocket they are ahead, in mathematics they are ahead.
So many other people of other castes are ahead. So how can you say? So let us understand the subject. Forget. First of all, you should forget we are men, we are women, we are old, we are Maharashtrian, Gujarati, Punjabi. Let us away from the bodily consciousness. Because that's what today's people do. When they read some sentence from the Vedic scriptures or for anywhere for that matter, they react and analyze impulsively. So, actually that's the qualification of Shudras. Who react and analyze impulsively. The Brahmana should think peacefully, logically, with cool head and try to analyze and understand, as Prabhupada says, from all angles. Not from only, I am man, oh I am this, oh I am woman, or I am, no. That is an impulsive, egoistic trying to understand the subject. We should try to keep away that at least for a few minutes, which we are discussing this. So basically, before even we try to go into topic, before we understand the sentence, we should be aware of the circumstances the sentence is spoken and aware of the understood meaning of the sentence. See, anytime when we speak, there is some understood meaning. I'll give today's example, means present day example which you can relate to. Like a simple question. Kitna hua? Nothing is specified. What kitna hua? If I ask you a question, kitna hua? On the cricket ground, then it's understood that we are talking of the runs or the wickets or overs, what it may be, in what reference we are talking. If we ask, kitna hua? We don't, every time we don't ask, kitna wicket ho gaya? Ya football mein, if I am seeing a football match and say my friend or brother comes, he just asks, कौन आगे है? तो कौन आगे है मतलब who is having more goals score. So that's understood. He doesn't have to say अरे इंडिया का ज्यादा स्कोर हो गया कि ब्राजील का ज्यादा हो गया कि कौन आगे है. He doesn't have to give the whole sentence. Just the simple sentence कौन आगे is understood. Similarly, when we speak any sentence or hear any sentence or analyze any sentence, we have to understand the circumstance and the understood meaning of this sentence. Understood meaning which is not spoken over there. That we have to understand. So, if you go and ask this question, today Anandan Prabhu is not here, in a share market, stock exchange, and ask, kitna hua? So, if you tell him, I don't know present day bothers, Kapil Dev ke char wicket ho gaye. So, in a share market, that answer is useless. Here, kitna ho gaya means that what they call Sensex, Nifty something. Means Sensex kitna ho gaya, yeah, Nifty kitna. So, you don't have to ask in share market, Sensex kitna ho gaya. Just the word kitna ho gaya means it is understood that you are asking about Sensex or Nifty or whatever the words they have. So when someone or is called like scholar, someone is called a scholar, we should also understand what type of meeting that is. Like there is an association of chartered accountants of India. All the top chartered accountants of India are there. And suppose there is only one top software engineer also present over there. And the chartered accountants are discussing and talking about so many things of accounting, tax filing and this and that. That top software engineer of the world is a fool over there. He cannot speak anything and people will call him, he is a fool. He is a fool in the association of all the top chartered accountants. He may be expert in his field. So somebody will say, "Arey, ye isko kuch aata nahi hai." In that association of chartered accountants, somebody will just say that, "Ye na isko kuch aata nahi hai," because he doesn't know anything of chartered accountancy. So similar, he may be good in IT or lawyer or whatever it may be. So when we are talking of less intelligence, not only this reference but any reference, first of all we have to understand what is the field. What is the topic it is talked of? Not that this topic or Shudras or women are called less intelligent in all the fields from Amazon, A to Z. What is the association? Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, what is being spoken over there? Some people like say, the women are getting more marks in mathematics. It is not said mathematics or physics or chemistry or accountancy or any other field, doctor or medicine. The topic which is undergoing over there, it's philosophical discussions. We'll come to this point later on why even for philosophical discussions they are called less intelligent. We'll come to that point. But first let us clarify. The topic of less intelligence is not any other topic. It's amongst the topic where already, like Bhagavad Gita, is it mathematics books? Or Srimad Bhagavatam, is it mathematics books or chemistry book or engineering book or medicine book or lawyer book? No. So only in that field, like in CA association, the intelligence is of CA, accountancy. Those who are, he is the most intelligent among us. Doesn't have to be specified in the field of CA. Or he is less intelligent. Doesn't have to be specified it is for CA field. He may be very intelligent in other fields. So first of all, in this reference, let us establish the topic. And the topic, I think, has been established enough. I don't have to give more examples. But that is there. And we should also understand the life. Okay, that will come to the latter part. Just 1 minute. So topic has been established. And then we'll go to the next point that even in why that topic, why? Why someone is called less intelligent? Now just by some birth or class or body. We have to try to analyze that also. We'll go do that. So first topic is not mathematics, physics, chemistry or arts or geography or singing. In all those fields, many fields, women can excel men, men can excel women. That is an independent individual characteristics. So we should very clear, like sometimes in this topic women are confused, men are confused, everyone is confused because they don't know the topic. When we hear the sentence, people just take it that it is for every field, but they don't see it. So they feel either the Vedic statement is wrong or either it's a confusing or better don't talk about it. Now that is cut the topic. Like many years back, 8-10 years back, on email, I was discussing or we can say debating with one Muslim person. We are especially on the topic of the Supreme God has a form or does he doesn't have a form. So I gave that Muslim person references from the Quran. There are few references. I got them from the Airavat Prabhu's books. That when Muhammad had gone to the heaven by doing his tapasya, then he could feel the hand of God kept on his shoulder. So he could not see it, but he could feel the hand of God. That means God has a hand. So there are references that God has beautiful color. God has beautiful eyes in the Quran. Few references are there. So asked him that you are saying God is formless, but then what about these references? So he did not answer initially, but after a few days, he answered. He said, I asked my authorities, mullahs and maulvis, and they said, this is there, but we should not talk about it. You should skirt the topic. It is mentioned in Quran that hand rested on Muhammad and everything, but we should not talk about it. So I don't want to do that. Let us be clarified. So first of all, the topic is established. Topic is about philosophical expect discussions on the philosophy. And the require, okay. Then we see even Prabhupada saying like that, sorry, that when Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed by Parvati, and Lord Shiva did not take it, any offense. So Prabhupada writes in the purport over there, that even in the higher realms, that is like Lord Shiva and Parvati, higher realms, we can see there is difference of understanding between the men and women. Prabhupada writes, so we have to understand, analyze, what was the difference, why it was, why did Parvati curse and why did Lord Shiva not curse? Certainly Parvati is not less intelligent. She is the, like she is behind this whole universe. A person behind this whole universe, how can she be less intelligent? We are just tiny specks here and there. So what expect is being spoken? That we should be. One is philosophical expect and another one, there are two, three more expects which we'll come to in some time. So, just 1 minute. Okay, now some language part of Vedic language. Before we go to the direct topic, why even in that topic someone is called as intelligent? You understand, in Vedic language, like in physics language, in cricket language, in any language, as I said, kitna hua has a meaning. If you go to a hotel and ask kitna hua, certain list of bill. The waiter is not going to answer, do ho gaya, wicket. The bill may be 2000 or something. So Vedic language, if the topic is not specified, by default it is some topic. We should understand that Vedic language. So just like in Vedic language, in any books, it's only milk is mentioned. And it is not specified which animal's milk. Ayurveda has great detailed study of milk of many animals. Cow, buffalo, elephant, camel, donkey, lion. Many animals' milk is studied in detail in Ayurveda. But if in any Vedic books, only milk is mentioned without specifying which milk, by default, it is Vedic cow's milk. We don't have to specify that every time in the Vedic books. If it is other milk, it requires specification. Similarly about urine. Similarly about oil. In Ayurveda and other Vedic books, many types of oil are studied and their qualities are mentioned. But if only oil is mentioned anywhere, then it is by default teal oil, sesame oil. It doesn't have to be mentioned that it is teal oil. If some other oil is there, it has to be mentioned. Similarly, in the Vedic language, especially the philosophical aspects of books, in that language, if it is mentioned intelligence, it is only the philosophical and analytical intelligence. It's not overall every intelligence in every field. It doesn't need to be mentioned which intelligence. It's to be just like which milk, it doesn't need to be mentioned. Which oil, it doesn't need to be mentioned. It's to be understood in that field of reference. That it is only about philosophical, analytical intelligence. We are mentioning that some people are more intelligent, some people are less intelligent. Something like that. So now we come to the point. Why are Vaishyas, Shudras and women called less intelligent in philosophical and analytical field? Let us come to that point. After removing all other topics. So basically, I was once sharing with, actually, every man or woman or within man or woman, everyone has own unique qualities. And rather than egoistically fighting with this and that, plus or minus, we should understand what we are. And then we can plan accordingly, like there is a fight between India and Pakistan or India and China. Both countries will take a stock of their strengths and weakness. And then they will, what you plan or organize or something like that accordingly. So similarly, rather than being, men should know where they can do mistakes, women should know where they can do mistakes. Everyone has some plus and minus. So if we are aware of that, then we can plan properly. That's the better part. Rather than just skirting the topic, keeping a blind eye, we should not discuss this. That attitude I have seen sometimes. So I thought, let us make it clear. Let there be no, like I have once talked with one or two mates also, not talking in detail, but their immediate response was, hey, we are not bodies, we are souls. That answer was somewhere okay, but I could see they are not intellectually satisfied with the answer when this topic came up. And men cannot actually clarify what this means. So let us make it clear today. So basically, all of us know, and now I am referring one discussion, I can take the names. That happened maybe 10-15 years back. But somehow that discussion is in my memory, like some very clear discussion. I have forgotten hundreds of points I heard in classes after that. But that discussion I can name, it's a wonderful discussion. I am taking that reference now. Happened in Jagannath Puri on the banks of actually Narendra Sarovar, on the steps. And we can say like Sarovam Bhattacharya and Lord Chaitanya. I was the audience. I was not one of them. There was His Grace Jaidev Prabhu, a very senior counselor. They may not also remember this discussion happened because long back it was offhand discussion. But I remember very clearly. He was there and he was asking similar point to His Grace Madhav Prabhu. I don't know where he is now, but he used to help Bhakti Rasamrut Maharaj in that farm near Belgaum. He may be there still. So same topic was happening. And he mentioned, the topic was mentioned that in general, which is very good, but when we are discussing about the philosophy and analysis, the Matajis or women have the tendency to be emotional. in decision making. And they agree that little bit they don't appreciate the philosophy and deep Brahman and this and that. Not that men also like it, but overall, another important point is going to come after this. And another point, which everyone will agree, all men will agree, all women will agree. So one aspect is, the Matais are little bit having tendency of more emotional tendency. So their decision making, or therefore because they have tendency of emotional making, the analytical tendency is little less compared to men and women. Again, one important point that will come after this point is this statement which I am making, or which is in the Bhagavatam, is not an absolute statement but an averaging statement. What it means we'll discuss after this point. What it means that it is not an absolute statement but an averaging statement. So the tendencies of Matajis or Shudras, why Shudras? Same point. Why Vaishyas? Same point. Is the Vaishyas or the Shudras or the women, the tendency of them is to be more emotional, more sentimental, not analytical, not to observe everything in a cool way. And another important point is to be more attached to body and the bodily details. Like, everyone will agree that the fair class, the women are little bit more attached. Not that men are not attached. It is an averaging statement. A little bit more attached to the dress and the food and the taste and the jewelry and the home and the color and the fridge and all. Basically, body and bodily necessities. And many gurustas, they have told me, one of my friend, I won't name him here, but he's a counselor. So he was telling, "Are kya Prabhuji?" Means he was sharing with me. For us, it's okay. Any type of clothes, some kurta is little bit here and there. We don't mind. We wear it and we are okay. But, well, my wife, she is also eagerly observing. She says, "What type of kurta you are wearing? This is not good kurta." So that tendency is there. That doesn't mean they cannot perfect their life. That tendency is observed, that the Matajis or women are more into these details of clothes and house and jewelry and the food and the taste. Not that men are not, but comparatively. So because of these mental tendencies of attached to bodily details, attached to emotional angle and bit sentimental angle and not analytical angle, it makes it a bit difficult to analyze the philosophical aspect of scriptures. And the topic which is going on in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is the philosophical aspect, the philosophy of spiritual life. And therefore, in that field, the Stri, Shudra and Vaishyas are called less intelligent. The field has to be clear. Why it is like that has to be clear, because the tendency of emotional, bodily bit attachment and like that is there. So now, another two, three important points in this reference, which are equally important to make the whole picture clear. As I said, before we go ahead about the intelligence part, we are discussing here the intelligence of Bhagavad Gita, philosophy. Actually, Madhav Prabhu answered that nicely. I'll take his one sentence and then move ahead. That statement will be referred more suitable in the future. So, Jayadeva Prabhu asked Madhav Prabhu, "So, does it mean women cannot be philosophical?" He said, "Yes, they can be. There may be many women who are very nicely philosophical. But it's like a pendulum. The tendency is to go towards emotion. Not that they cannot be philosophical. But the tendency of women is generally to go towards emotion and sentiment, and tendency of men is to go this side. Not that all, there are no men who are not emotional. Many men are also emotional. But that general tendency." So now we come to this next statement of averaging and absolute statement. What happens under the influence of ego and pride? We think, "Hey, how can it be like that?" Because we make the averaging statement an absolute statement. And then it is wrong, and then we go up into anger. So what does averaging statement and absolute statement mean? Forget about intelligence and everything. In that example, which, like we all know, generally the height, not intelligence, please don't connect with me over here. Generally the height of women is less than height of men. Is this statement true or not? Generally, averagingly it is true. If you go to the New Zealand, there are many tall people in New Zealand. The average height is very high. So we may see maybe the height of New Zealand women is higher than the 80% of Indians. Something like that, it may be. At least 70%. Because overall the men and women are very tall in New Zealand. Overall. So therefore, it is an averaging statement. It's not an absolute statement. What does absolute statement means? Like in this example of height of men and women. When it will become absolute statement, the tallest of tallest women in the world is shorter than the shortest man. Understood? The most tallest woman in the world is shorter than the shortest man. Then it becomes an absolute statement. 100%. But it's not like that. On an average, men are taller than women. On an average. So, there can be a lady or Mataji who is quite philosophically astute. She studied, she has detached from the body. But averagingly, as Madhav Prabhu said, a tendency. On an average, we see in the similar situations of the men and women, the tendency of the woman is to go towards emotion and sentiments and towards the bodily activities, and the man is not there. That doesn't mean the most even philosophically, spiritually intelligent woman is less than the most dabbu man in the world. No, that will become the absolute statement. But this is not an absolute statement. Under the influence of our ego and misunderstanding, we make it an absolute statement, which it is not. It is an averaging statement. Again, so there can be many wonderful Vaishnavi Matajis and women who are much, much more better placed in philosophy and intelligence and detachment from the body than many other men in the world. Devotee and non-devotee both. But in an average way, in an averaging statement, this is there. So, we have to understand these three topics, the subject matter. Why? Because of little bodily attachments and averaging statement. Not emotional angle and sentimental angle. And in the end, it is like a averaging statement. So, actually because of this, there is another misconception. Okay, before we go there, before that, I will just give an example of Prabhupada, what he said directly about it. Like we all know in 1968 or 69, something like that. Govind Mataji, Govind Dasi Mataji, as all of you have heard. She went and asked Prabhupada directly. She said, no skirting topic, let's quote it directly. She asked Prabhupada, but Prabhupada gives answer in a very eloquent way. Like he gave a similar answer to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj also. We have to analyze it. She went and asked Prabhupada, these men are saying women are less intelligent. It is like that. Prabhupada gave the best answer. He said, if you think you are a woman, then you are less intelligent. What does it mean? If you think you are in bodily consciousness, you are less intelligent. So, the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas who are qualified should not be in bodily consciousness. That is their prerequisite, not by birth. So, those who are not bodily conscious, they are Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. And those who are bodily conscious, they are Vaishyas and Shudras and women. But if a woman thinks she is not body, then she is co-intelligent. If a Shudra by birth thinks he is not a body, if he can achieve that, then he is intelligent. So, Prabhupada gave a very wonderful answer, one sentence answer, but we have to analyze that to understand it properly. Otherwise, in this world, men think men are men and women think women are women, and then both are less intelligent. And sometimes that happens in devotees. Like the women think we should glorify Radharani and Gopis, and they say Radhe Radhe. And men think, oh, we are on the side of the men and we should say Sham Sham. This is some sort of illusion. Because we are identifying with Krishna or Radharani because we are men or women. So that is again, I am man, so I am bodily conscious, and therefore I will say Sham Sham. We should say both, Radhe Radhe and Sham Sham. The men should also say Radhe Radhe Sham Sham, and women should also say Radhe Radhe Sham Sham. But the tendency is observed that the women say Radhe Radhe and the men say Sham Sham because we are men, so we are on the side of Krishna. Sorry, it's not like that. It is again a reflection of our bodily consciousness. Krishna may have the body which is like a male body in this world, and Radharani may have the spiritual body which is like a female body in this world. But we can, just because we have a male or female body, we cannot take such sides. We cannot take such sides. That is not exactly going to the philosophical aspect, but that is again bodily. Our bodily consciousness imposed on the divine form of Radha Krishna. So something like that. That is again Okay, as a kirtan, we may say Radhe Radhe Sham Sham, but if we understand, we'll say only Sham Sham because we are men, Hari Bol. And we'll say only Radhe Radhe because we are women, Hari Bol again. So anyway, so this misconception, we should say always Radhe Radhe and Sham Sham because we are souls. And until we don't know, even we know whether in the spiritual body we are men or women, still we should say Radhe Radhe Sham Sham. We should say Hare Krishna. Actually, Radhe Radhe Sham Sham is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, again, some few clarifications before we end. I know I am almost on the time before we end. Sometimes Prabhupada also, see, His Grace Radhika Vallabha Prabhu gave me a very nice point. He said, Krishna is balanced. Actually, there is disadvantage because, as we heard, women tend to be more emotional and not philosophical, but they have more faithful. In the aspect of faith, they are easily keeping faith. So something is minus, something is plus. In the respect of faith, the men are a little bit more skeptic. But they have analytical mind, but little skeptical mind. Women have emotional mind, but little easily faithful mind. So there is plus and minus for both. And in Bhagavad Gita, if I want to speak on the side of the soul, neither man or woman, because we are neither both. But even if we go in that way, in Bhagavad Gita, many places Krishna says, what he says? If you don't have intelligence, what he will do? What Krishna will do? He will give intelligence. But does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita, if you don't have faith, He will give faith to you? Maybe scholars. Is it Krishna says somewhere, He says, Dadami buddhi yogam tam, He will give the intelligence. But faith wala koi hai to bata sakte hai? Slok where Krishna says, I will give you faith. Maybe you can tell afterwards. But Radhika Vallabha Prabhu told me this point. That so, if someone doesn't have intelligence, Krishna will manage that. If you have the right faith. But if someone doesn't have faith, ashaddhana purusha, or asuya way, then it's difficult. If someone has less intelligence, Krishna can manage that. But if someone doesn't have faith or enviousness, then Krishna mostly won't manage that. We have to develop it with the association of devotees. And then less intelligence or something, Krishna will. And therefore Krishna says, Sriyo Vaishyas Tatha Shudro Tepi Yanti Param Gatim. They will also achieve the supreme destination. So that achievement of supreme destination is allowed for all, whether someone is less intelligent or not less intelligent. But when we are discussing about the philosophy and detachment from the body, that angle in that books, it is called less intelligent. And that all of us can agree, even men will agree, even women will agree that yes, little bit that bodily attraction of food, clothes is there, little bit less tendency towards philosophy and all that is there. And only for that part, in that circumstances, it is called. It is not called in mathematics class. It is not called in physics class or geography. In fact, the Shudras of India are very, very intelligent. They are great scientists. Super scientists. The Shudras of India are super scientists and all the present day scientists. I'll give one example. Actually, another angle. We know Shamo, Dhamma, Tapas, Shaucham and all these things. Qualifications of Brahmanas and Yuddhe, Chava, Palayam, qualifications of Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. There is another analysis of that. Who is a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra? Brahmanas are one who deal with Devatas and Supreme God. Brahman, Devatas, they do puja for Devatas. They actually can deal with Devatas and please them or displease them. They are Brahmanas. Who are Kshatriyas? They manage men of this world. They are Kshatriyas. Who are Vaishyas? They manage other living entities like plants, cows, other animals. All other living entities other than men, humans, they manage, they control are Vaishyas. And who are Shudras? They who manage the matter. Gold, silver, means metallurgy, software, computer is the matter. No? Is it correct, Prabhuji? So, who manage the matter, not the living beings, they are Shudras. So, Sorry, but hey, that's what is stated in another way of analysis. So the Shudras of India are very great intelligent. Because if you go and see the Ashok Stambha, that is metallurgy. And that has been made by the Shudras because that is metallurgy. That is their skill. Even the swords of 200, 400 years back, that is metallurgy. But they are such a sword. The steel of Ashok Stambha is such a beautiful steel. It is in the sun and air and rain for thousands of years. Still not 0.0000001 rusted. And present day scientists, they make some steel and within some few months it starts rusting. Maximum they make and it may last for few years. But exposed to the sun and the heat and the wind and the dew, for 2000 years no Ashok Stambha is there, not even 0.0. So what is that? That is a metallurgical intelligence and it belongs to Shudras. The Shudras were a great scientist of Vedic culture, but their intelligence was metallurgical, not philosophical or detachment from the body. And in that field, they are called less intelligent. Similarly, there are Shudras who are dealing with earth, dealing with copper. They are super intelligent scientists of the Vedic culture. Dealing with great erection of temples, big we see Jagannath Puri temples. So it is all, everything is there. So that is the classification. And yes, so basically, before we end, as per the Prabhupada's purport, in Kali Yuga and in the books of scriptures, in Kali Yuga, everyone is Shudra. Better accept it. At least I am. Now someone asks, who are you? Technically, someone said, the caste by birth is only in Indian constitution, not in the scriptures. So in that way, technically, as per the Indian constitution, I might be a Brahman by born. But when someone asks, are you a Brahman? I said, I am a Shudra, but I am trying to become a Brahman. Let's be honest. I want to become. There's nothing wrong in that. I am not yet, but that's my goal. And then ahead of that is to develop love of Godhead. So Kali Yuga, Prabhupada says, whoever doesn't have Garbhadham Samskar, spiritual family planning. One who doesn't have Garbhadham Samskar, it's almost impossible for him to become Brahman or Kshatri. So Kali Yuga, how many have? Maybe you can do a census. The population census. How many of us were born with Garbhadham Samskar? Mother and father coming together, planning that we'll try to have a divine child, finding out some auspicious date for conception and like that. Then, yes, without that also someone can become Brahman and Kshatriya, but very difficult. So, let's accept we are all Vaishyas or Shudras, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. But still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is there. And just by chanting the holy names, whether we are Shudras or women or men or Vaishyas, or we think to be Brahmanas, or we might be Brahmanas, but if Brahman thinks I am a Brahman, then he is disqualified. If he has that ego, he is disqualified. So, whatever it may be, Naham Vipro Nacha Narapatir Napi Vaishyo Nashudro Naham Varni Nacha Guruhapatir Vanastu Yatirva. Let us humbly Tunadapi Suni Chena Toro Rivasa Hishnuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtane Sadahari. Let us focus. Let us not focus on whether we are Brahman or Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra, or exactly what type of Shudra, what type of Brahman or what type of Kshatriya. There are so many classifications in that also. When Lord Chaitanya went, there was a Sanodhya Brahman and this Brahman. There are so many classifications everywhere. Let us focus what we can be by the mercy of Krishna, by always chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Na Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. I did not want to offend anyone. If someone has been offended by mistake, please forgive me. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai. Hare Krishna.